Welcome to the Seventh Sense podcast.
This is a space to explore, reflect, and share.
Open conversations for the heart, mind, and soul.
Welcome to episode 6. My name is Edna Njeri.
My name is Eugene Gishaga.
First of all, I can't believe it's episode 6. Like, we are one episode away from the end of season 1.
It still feels like maybe episode 3 or 4. It feels like we're still starting.
If you listen to every episode so far, thank you.
Big up yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, just big up yourself.
So as always, we'd like to start the episodes with a game.
What constitutes a perfect day for you? Have, this is going to sound insane, but it's still my perfect day. Have Weetabix for breakfast.
What?
I know.
Out of everything in the world, like, this is you.
Oh, out of everything. I thought it was like a realistic, perfect day.
Okay, yeah, realistic. Let's do realistic.
It would be sunny day, clear blue sky in the morning. Have Weetabix for breakfast. Watch like an episode of like Tom and Jerry as I eat my Weetabix. Going like eating like ice cream on set. If I could watch like the entire like trilogy of The Matrix, that would be a part of a perfect day. Catch the sunset, like in Gong Hills.
With the view, yeah.
Yeah, if I could catch that, that would be a nice way to end it.
Chocolate for dinner.
Yeah. Yeah. You?
Wake up. And still have time to sleep. You know, wake up being like,
yeah.
What time is it? And then it's like an hour to my alarm. Yeah. Breakfast, honestly, I do love like oats with banana. That's like supreme breakfast. Or like sandwiches. I like sandwiches. And then have a productive morning. Go out for lunch, eat something healthy, but nice.
Okay.
Like a pasta, like a mushroom pasta. And then have the afternoon to just like create or enjoy some content. There has to be some self-care in it, like getting my hair done, my nails done, a wax done, something of that sort. And then being in bed early enough to where I can watch like 2 YouTube videos before I sleep.
Mad.
And then being asleep by 11, that's like my perfect day. Going out to see the moon. I like looking at the moon. I'm one of those people.
I did that last night.
Full moon in Aries.
And it was oddly satisfying. That sounds like a good perfect day.
Yeah.
What would you eat? What's like, food. But there's no meal like at the end of that perfect day.
Lately, I've really been into like wraps or tacos or some sort of like veggies in a wrap.
Yeah.
Or like a rice bowl, like a savory rice bowl. Mm. Usually, I would say like steak and potatoes. Like that's like with a glass of wine. That's it. If you could be any animal, which one would you be? A butterfly.
What? Animal? Like
it's
I know it is. Like it's just you see for me, I'm like it's. Not that it's small, but I'm like, you could be any animal in the world.
I would be a butterfly or I would be an elephant. Those are the two that come to mind.
Okay, why the elephant?
I feel like I really love elephants. They're so calm, they just take their time. I don't like the thing of being pregnant for 2 years. I'm not with that part. But
why ask you that?
Like good memory, like basically plant-based, you know. What about you?
A lion for sure. You're bad, but then just everybody around knows you're bad, but you have nothing to prove. I love lions, just growing up.
Lionesses are more fierce.
Insect, I'd be a bee. I feel like they low-key get drunk off the honey.
But you just need to sting someone once and you're dead.
But you see, but I think I'd be a calm bee, because I already know that about myself. I'm not out here like, you know, just stinging
doing
people.
But you have to protect your queen. That's how it works.
Why the butterfly?
Because you're not one thing for too long, and then you just like the colors. You know, there's some butterflies which have colors that the human eye can't even perceive. I just think they're really beautiful.
Have you ever been depressed? How did you get out of it?
To be honest, I don't think I've ever been depressed.
Okay.
I've been really sad.
Yeah.
But like if I cry and sleep, I'll wake up and I'll be fine. And I don't think that's depression. I've been really sad, but it never lasts for periods of time.
Mm. How do you stop it from being like an extended period of time?
You just get it out. I think that's the thing.
Okay.
Write it out or talk it out or sleep it out. Have you struggled with depression?
Yeah.
How did you get out of it?
I asked it because also I feel like end of the day it's going to tie in into the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where if it's your first time, you don't understand what's going on. So you just feel like you're being sad for no reason. And then just like you dig deeper into that pit.
I mean, I have felt sad for no reason, but
yeah.
I think the thing with me is that it doesn't last. Shout out my brain chemistry and hormones. It keeps me like on lock, keeps me, you know, optimistic. But sorry, what did you say?
So mine started off and I could tell, it's just like when I'm waking up in my room, I'm not opening my curtains are staying like closed, I'm sitting in bed and I have no absolute reason to like get out of my bed. That's when I started realizing, okay fine, this is something. Getting out of it was more like me asking that big question, is how long are you going to be here for, Shaka? How long are you going to stay here and then just not deal with it?
If you could wake up tomorrow with a new ability or skill, what would you pick? Easy. I would pick fluency of Mandarin. I feel like that's something I've slacked on.
Oh, yeah?
Like, I'm still at the level I've been at forever.
Yours is such like a grown-up thing to want. I don't like to be able to teleport. Like, sure, we can help tomorrow. I just want to be able to do that.
Before we get into today's episode, which is loving beyond yourself, we started this season with happiness versus success, where we talked about what happiness looks like to us and how we define success.
Yeah.
Then went on to selfishness versus self-centeredness, where we kind of said that being selfish is a good thing. It's not such a bad thing.
Yeah.
And then with that, we discussed reparenting the inner child.
Which I love. Like,
which?
All my episodes, I've loved all the episodes. It was like a favorite one.
We talked about our experiences and what we think you can do. And that flows into lost but found. And then last week we talked about the art of being present, which is a big part of finding yourself. And then now that like we're in the moment, we're talking about loving beyond yourself.
Yeah.
So taking it to the next level. I think my first question was going to be, when was the first time you realized like you loved or cared about someone as a kid, or like even at whatever stage where you were like, this person means so much to me?
Mine is like, so the hood we went to like when we were shooting last week.
Before we go any further, how was your week?
Oh.
We were just about to go straight into it.
I think it was an interesting week. Like, it tested me mentally, emotionally. In this 1 week, I feel like I've grown bounds. How was it?
I mean, first of all, I'm happy it's October. It's Libra season.
Yeah.
We have a full moon to start off the month. We have so many interesting astrological things happening this month. So I'm excited in, like, for the month. My week has been, it was really productive at first, and then it was like, mentally, it's been testing. I'm happy I got to see Miriam this week. That's always the highlight of my week. But it's been a memorable week. Okay, so back to your first session.
So the hood I grew up in, we used to have my neighbor like across the street. It was like this best friend of mine growing up, used to be called Derek. Anyway, so the time I got my new bike, he never used to have a bike, and it used to be like the cutest thing. Oh my god, I'd ride my bike and he'd run along like next to me as we're talking, like, you know, then we'd switch, I give him the bike, then I'm running. It used to be like so wild. That's when I realized this is, looking back now, I'm just like, I actually care about this person, to the point where I got like a hand-me-down from Akina Kirago, like an old like chopper bike. And as soon as I fixed it up, I gave him my new bike, you get? But it's just that same time I started realizing, you know what, I care about this person and it's not making sense. I can't understand it. And he hasn't told me, no,
things,
it's just like, yo, I just,
I
you're seeing you happy, kind of, it makes me happy. And then as long as they're both happy, then shit is cool.
Yeah. Mine is family related, but not immediate family. I mean, of course, your mom and your dad, you're like these people that are like gods.
Yeah.
But mine was my aunt. She was just so cool. Like,
yeah.
I remember just admiring her and just being like, I just want to be with her all the time. And she would always like let me do cheeky things, and it was like our secret. And I remember feeling like, this is like my nigga, you know, like, she really is here for me.
Yeah.
I like what she said, because it's not even things that they've done for you. It's like just like an, I don't know if it's an energy thing. It's just like, this person is just the person I want to be around most of the time.
Yeah.
It's like that thing where it's like an authentic love or care for something outside of you.
It's organic.
Exactly.
And this is just me before I became like aware of certain things. But the moment you say love, it really paints a picture in someone's head. So it's really a perception, expectation when you say love. So to tell someone, especially me, like, you know, saying, okay, I loved this boyfriend of mine. So to actually say that, with me maybe going back, I'd have been like, yo, that's the gayest thing to ever say. But me being in this position,
support all.
No,
queer
sorry,
people,
I am so sorry. An old me would have felt uncomfortable admitting it. But growing now, moving and understanding the things I understand, I get to know that was genuinely love. And the fact that I could not define it, and that's the purest form of love.
Did you ever go through a point where it was like, okay, this is not something I want to prioritize in my life?
Okay.
I'm just gonna love myself, I'm not gonna really care about the outside. Or when did you start to place a lot of importance on loving beyond yourself?
I mean, generally, I feel like my whole life, I've been a certified lover boy, for sure. So in that like transition of me trying to figure out like, you know, what relationships are, so in my mind, I'm like, whatever I had with Derek should work in a relationship. I should be able to give, and no one feels like they're losing or gaining. It's just, it's a pure exchange. So the first couple of relationships, like, I'm putting the thought that as long as I'm giving,
I'm gonna get back.
I'm gonna get back, so that should work. And of course, I've kissed a couple of frogs, like, you know, thinking this is it, this is it, this is it. This year is when I become comfortable enough to be like, you know what? It's not it. I would take my time now and start to cultivate even with friends generally, I just mean like I want to be able to take the time to cultivate relationships across the board.
I feel like for me, most of my lessons in loving beyond yourself were friendship based, where you treat someone like this, you expect that they'll treat you the same way,
yeah,
but they don't.
What do you understand when you say
loving beyond yourself?
I would describe it like cherishing something or someone outside of you.
So it can be multiple people, it can be one person.
Yeah.
So that become complicated to someone who doesn't even love themselves.
Yeah, it's just to start with you. It's a thing of pouring from an empty cup.
Okay, how I understand it is being able to offer the same care and affection that you offer to yourself and being able to translate that to someone else. I think the moment you start understanding, like, love can be also something you share, like growing up or you are told this,
yeah,
is what
it is. Yeah,
I
feel like it's so much tied to like romantic love.
Yes.
And that's not everything. I have friends who I feel such a deep love for,
yeah,
and there's never been and never will be anything romantic, you know, it's,
yeah,
it's different.
So fine, you've understood what loving beyond yourself is. How do you take those steps towards loving outside yourself?
Especially if you've been hurt before.
It becomes like a defense mechanism, you know, so you close yourself off to feeling anything ever again.
That's my brand. Like me, I will be distant, like I'm out. What?
So how do you start?
For the good and like quality relationships, it's a time thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you meet someone and you instantly love them with all your heart.
I know.
For me, I like to be very analytical of people these days, especially. I'll be like, we'll see. I just like to give it time. You see how you feel around someone after you spend time with them. You see how they respond to you. You see how they speak to you when you share something challenging. You see how you navigate difficult times. Then you're like, okay, this is like someone who I truly care about.
Previously, I would lean more on what I'm feeling. I'd never let like my brain analyze the situation. I'd always just be like, it feels right. But again, a satisfied lover boy, everything
there's
is going to feel
thing,
right.
There's that thing though. There's the thing for your gut also.
Yes. And before, I could never notice the thing that's off because I'm being clouded with this thing is just...
It's everything.
It's everything. Or the person is everything. Be it friends. Even some extent family. You know what I'm saying? You can feel like I trust them with how I feel about things or even just trust them with myself. But then when things don't go that direction, you get to realize you're like, maybe not. So it became trial and error. And a lot of like A-B testing. So it's, okay, fine. I'll be myself with this person. And then let me see how they like respond. If it's not the best way, then when I go to the other person, it's just like, okay, fine. Let me try a version of myself that's maybe not what the other person didn't like. A lot of like you trying to figure out yourself.
Through the other person.
The other person. And for me, it became more about, that's the end. I'm done with that. Because I'm not being true to myself anymore.
I feel like it's a major lesson in adult friendship. That's like the real loving beyond yourself. With adult friendship, there's a lot of planning required. The older you get, like, you know, everyone's living their own lives.
Yeah.
But there's still those friends who you pick up right where you left off. And so I feel like that's also for me why I've tried to be super intentional with my friends, at least for the second half of the year and moving forward, in how we spend time together, in what we talk about, and the things I want to know about them and the things I want them to know about me. Because I think as an adult, everyone's living their life. Someone has a kid, someone else is married. So it's,
yeah,
like, if you're not holding those people close to you, it's like easy for them to drift apart. The friends who you just pick up where you left off, you know, it's a real one when it's like that.
I'm an introvert by nature. I normally feel like I have a handful of friends. And even in that handful, there's another handful you get. It's more about me letting them understand that I also have like a boundary that, you know, I need to cultivate. And all these things I've been learning, especially this year, because I've had more time with myself. If it's going to serve me, it's going to be in my life. Because I feel like, you know, it's a society where you are convinced that fitting in or being a part of is so important, like in your life. But as you adult,
It's not
more about, yeah, and it's more about what value can I place in my relationships, in my friendships.
But yeah, I like what you said, both things you said about boundaries and about different things for different people. Boundaries with friendships are so important. But it's also the thing where you learn as you go, like you make a mistake with this friend and then you're,
yeah,
like, we're not opening that door again.
Should you be able to overlook all those things if you're trying to love beyond yourself? Well, that's not it.
Maybe I phrased it weirdly, but it's more like I wouldn't bring everything to everyone. For example, this thing might trigger this friend of mine, so I would never
go to them about it
because I understand where,
okay,
they are. Or I understand just the connection we have.
I guess,
saying,
I guess
like
the same,
different,
yeah,
people who you just have different levels of connections with.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I don't love you. It means I even love you more because I see
you're
able
to recognize, yeah, there's
and
something.
And what you need and what I can give and what, you know, where we meet. But that's something I had to learn. Like, you don't need that many friends. I feel like mob psychosis is something I was deep into.
For sure. It's a loop that you all of you live in. Detaching from it is pretty hard because it was your world. It was your life.
Same is that it's like, even not that I don't love you anymore, it's just I understand myself better, so I need to move differently.
Yeah.
that's even me loving you, rather than me trying to change you and fix you, quote unquote. I'm loving you enough to give you space to do your own thing and to be your own person.
I feel like there's more flesh like to this, because you see, my experience is, I don't know like how to put it, like being a solitary person, already bringing in someone into my world is a whole thing.
Do you see the importance of loving, like, do you think it's important?
It's important because loving beyond yourself also allows this other person, maybe if they've never realized that they deserve a certain type of love or just to be treated in a certain way, you see the impact it has when you love someone beyond yourself. It's like the spark even in them to be like, oh shit, okay, fine. Maybe I am worthy of certain things, or maybe I should be treated a certain way. Maybe to start off, you start off maybe with one person, you know what I'm saying? Because now you can start testing it there, like 10 different people, be like, who am I going to cast? It's like a net. But it's people like who've had in your life, you're like, okay, fine. Maybe you've never had that conversation of,
this is what you mean to me, this is the real key in my life.
And then, so I want you to know that.
It's so important to let people know.
So I think that's a step.
Yeah.
Letting someone know that you appreciate them is just one step of you being able to love beyond yourself.
Then there's also the flip side of that, where it's like you've overloved beyond yourself. Does such a thing exist, do you think?
For me, it's the moment you start feeling like that, then it's not it. You know what I'm saying? Like the moment you start feeling like there's a negative impact to the loving, then I don't think it was you loving beyond yourself. It was you trying to love them in the hopes that they'll love you back. So when there was the expectation wasn't met, I think as long as you set an expectation to it, it's not really you loving beyond yourself, because you already penned a result to what you're doing.
Yeah.
As I look at it, you can't ever be too sure until you do it. And when you do it and it comes back the way you didn't expect it to, that's a start of something. Do you start with, like, you know, loving yourself, then tick, you have that one down part?
Which is like a forever process.
Which you should it's do, never yeah, like, it shouldn't be an option in your life.
It's not like even if you love yourself enough. It's like you're always learning to love yourself more and more.
If you've loved yourself enough, that's only time you can start. And it's never going to be enough. It'll always, like you said, it's always going to be growing and expanding. But as long as you have like a foothold on how much you love yourself,
then you can give.
I think that's when you can extend it to someone else. A lot of like even relationships, friendships, even bonds people have, has like a codependent factor to it. And so it's more like, you make me feel this way, and then without you, I don't feel it. So I need you to give this thing to me, because that's the only way I can get it. But that's the point of draining.
It's not healthy, yeah.
That's when you start draining the other person, because it's not that you're not oblivious to the fact that, okay, fine, I'm giving more than I'm getting. But the giving them, I see what it makes them feel like, so it's good enough, like I can take that. As opposed to, it should be just an exchange.
Equal.
Yeah. I think we get lost in that. I've been lost in that before. It just took a lot of me pausing everything to be like, okay, cool, Shaga. Are you ready to figure this out on your own? Take time to sit on your own.
Yeah.
I think the moment you say yes, I'm willing to go down this route.
You get tested. The universe gives you tests. There's people who you feel like now.
Yeah, this is it. That's my biggest lesson. Like, in terms of like loving beyond yourself, you have to love yourself first. Like, it's just, it has to start with you. Because now then it's beyond yourself.
And also be selective with how you give. That's major. You have to be like choosy with your energy, because your energy is precious. You can't just be letting everyone run amok how they feel like. Like, you have to be very selective. And I think it's the thing of expressing yourself is so important, because it's like you need to let someone know whatever you feel about them and see how they respond to that. That's an indication of how much more you should give to this person.
True. I think we've covered, like, you know, what loving your, what it looks like.
Yeah.
When you first noticed it.
Yeah.
And then what you can use like as a benchmark for you to know, okay, fine, this is what that thing is. Then this is where you stop when it's not. And this is where you start when you actually want to go down that journey. When it's directed to the right person, loving beyond yourself is
beautiful.
It's beautiful, yeah.
I just want to emphasize the importance of boundaries when loving beyond yourself.
Okay.
Don't give people too many chances. And it's a small thing, like how they correct you, that show you whether they really love you or they're secretly a hater. So yeah, don't be overly generous with your love. So that's episode 6, guys.
Thank you for listening. My name is Eugene Yashaga.
My name is Adnan Jay.
This has been the 7 Sense Podcast.